Hey folks, welcome back to another episode of the Growing Lean podcast, sponsored by Lean Discovery Group. This is your host, Dylan Burke, also known as Deej. I'm happy to be here today with Laura Dribben, founder and CEO of Peridius Consulting. Welcome, Laura.
Thanks, Dylan. I appreciate you having me on today. Thank you.
It's my pleasure. It's my pleasure. So, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, and your history, and how you ended up doing what you do?
Absolutely, absolutely. So, everything I'm going to say is probably going to age me, but we'll forget about that during this conversation. When I first started, it was early in the PC startup. PCs were new to business. I had been a math major in college. I didn't really know what I wanted, but I fell into consulting early on. Loved it. I worked for one of the they called it the Big Eight. Now they call them the Tier One consulting firms. There's not quite eight anymore. Just loved consulting. But I then switched. I thought I wanted to try corporate America. Realized corporate America wasn't for me after 1 year. And then from there, I worked at Microsoft, and that was early on in Microsoft's tenure. So, great experience. They hired eight people around the country to go out and be evangelists for OS2 Land Manager and SQL Server. As anyone who knows anything about OS2 history, midway through, they said, stop talking about OS2 and start talking about Windows. So that was a great experience. But after I had been there for a couple of years, I was pregnant with my first daughter and realized had to figure out what my priorities were. I had been a road warrior up until then, my entire career, and knew I didn't want to do work travel when I had children. I miss consulting. So that was my other thing. I wanted flexibility for my children. I wanted to get back to consulting. But if I went back, it would have still been the same kind of environment where I would be a road warrior. And I ended up starting my own firm at that point in time. Really had no background, but I decided I was going to start my own consulting firm focused on the Chicago area, which is where I live. My experience was mostly in Fortune 1000 companies, so that was where I was going to focus my attention at the time. So that's how I got started. Shortly after starting the business, I had a tech background, but I fell into managing a very large program for one of the Fortune 1000 companies and realized I love this. I'm good at it. I'm good at organizing people and plans, and realized that was my niche. And back then, I saw an opening. Project management was not a buzzword in companies. Construction engineering, they used project managers for decades and used that term, but in the business community, project management was not a term that people were using. So when they said, I need something done, please go ahead and figure out how to do it, make it happen, that's what I that's what we were doing at that time. So I use that opportunity to develop my business plan around. I'm going to be focusing on the delivery of our client my client's strategy. Focus just on delivery. And back then, most consultants really, and still today, love doing strategy. We figured we would do the tough end of like, let's make sure that happens. So that's how we ended up into at the time, what we called a program and project management consulting firm.
Okay, amazing. That's awesome. And do you ever regret leaving Microsoft, seeing how far they've come?
No, I don't. Probably an issue that I shouldn't be announcing on a podcast, but the stock, which we won't talk about that, made some mistakes in that end. But no, I don't regret it because. I've been doing, I love what we're doing right now. I love what we've created, and I missed consulting at the time. I actually had
Okay.
an opportunity at the time at Microsoft to propose I remember proposing to Steve Ballmer and Bill Gates that they should create a consulting firm within Microsoft. And at the time, they weren't ready for it. I know they have one now, an arm of it, but they at the time, they weren't ready for that.
100%. And could you walk us through your overall strategy, your business strategy?
Sure. So, you know, my strategy has changed slightly throughout the 34 years we've been doing this. Initially, it was program and project management. You know, I would take on any project. And our model is very different. It's unique to most consulting firms. Nowadays, project managers are everywhere. And every consulting firm will say, here's your subject matter experts, and we'll bring a project manager in. We have just been focused on project management. So what we bring is 1.25 resources to every project. We bring a consultant, very seasoned senior program manager who can manage the effort. And then we bring a partial quality manager. And that is our part of our secret sauce. Someone who will oversee, make sure we have the right fit for our from our side into the client and work with them because we do have a new process that they participate in as well, which I'll get to in a second. But it all we're doing is bringing in the lead to a team that it's typically a lot of disparate resources, tier one consulting firms, system integrators, other third parties. We do acquisition integration. That's two companies trying to come together. Anything where there are a lot of different disparate resources, that is our sweet spot. And because our people, our team knows how, it's sort of like the orchestra conductor. They may not play every instrument, but they know how to bring everyone together to make music. So that's our strategy. We have moved from a program and project management company, though, to what we call outcome management. And that was developed partly from the frustration that we had on why are we only talking about time, budget, and scope? And any project manager has been trained in you've got to get a project completed on time, on budget, within scope. And that is what they learn the skills to do. While that is important, that's also tactical. So get it done does not always translate it to get it done right or get it done with the value that you initially proposed. So we have at Paredes have added created an outcome management process, and that is to address value generation. So we take project management tenants, but we have added on initially to what's a strategic objective? We create a strategic alignment process is what we start out with. We bring the executive team in and we ask them, what does success look like when you're all done? And then how are you going to measure? So for instance, if they say, well, we're going to do this project and it will increase revenue, we push to ask, what does that look like? 0.5%? Is that success? 300%? Is that success? So we narrow that down because that way we are measuring throughout. And then when we're done and we are completed with a project, we turn it, you know, we're turning it over to our client who can continue to measure those success metrics to see if they are still staying on track.
Okay, 100%. And your business has been around for what, 30 years or something?
34 years.
34 years. So you've been through quite a lot of economical changes, like dot-com bubble, the recession in 2007, 2008, the pandemic. Correct. So how have you handled these changes in the economic climate? And has that taught you to plan for unforeseen changes coming?
That's a great question at the end, but what we, I have seen that, and I've gone through three downturns in this time, the three that you mentioned. Yeah. This has been a rough year for consulting. If you take a look out there, we are not alone, and consulting has had a tougher year. And I've been there twice before this, so I do know what it takes. And some of it is patience, because it does turn around. And other is a different way of focusing on selling. I'm re-engaging with people I haven't spoken to for years that might have been prior clients that during COVID sort of might have gotten lost a little bit. So, you know, my sales effort has changed. But downturns, I think people panic. I look at it as a downturn as an opportunity to reinvent. I find that the companies that do take that time to think about, you know, are we, you know, should we be doing anything different? Downturns are a good time for that. People who do focus on change and what can we be doing better are often the ones who come out of a downturn way better than others who are in reactive mode and just trying to keep their head above water. So, you know, we're always rethinking and replanning, but ours is a very specific niche. And I will tell you, delivering something difficult isn't, it isn't rocket science, but it does take a lot of soft skills. And I think that's one of the problems with our industry, that they are, you know, the associations focus a lot on tactics around on what project management should be doing. So projects rarely, really fail in that space. It's because more of, you know, you have a passive aggressive stakeholder, or you have people who really don't want this to happen, but they are being told they have to come along on the ride. And unless you figure out how to engage these people, projects suffer in those realms.
100%. And when the pandemic hit, were you already working remote, or?
No, we had a small office because most of our consultants go to our clients. So we don't really need a lot of space, because pre-COVID, they were going to the client site to work. But we really sort of were already aware, because our clients are Fortune 1000. So almost all of our projects for years have been global. Yes, you may have a team local, but you're dealing with teams all over the world. So our team knew how to react quickly to COVID. So it didn't really seem any different, other than now a lot of them are working at home because our clients are not bringing people back quite yet, or if they are, not full time, more of a hybrid.
Okay, yeah. Standard in most industries now.
Yeah, so I think that worked out to our benefit, because I think a lot of people were not quite aware of how to work in a remote environment. And so our global experience had sort of helped us. I'm still a lover of hybrid environments on a personal basis, because I think that personal interaction helps in a multitude of ways. You know, putting a name and a face together, the water cooler effect, and just being able to meet face to face occasionally, I think is beneficial.
Yeah, I 100% agree.
Okay. All right.
And most recently, over the last, let's say, year and a half, 2 years, with the AI coming into the mainstream, are you taking advantage of the tools that are available to you?
I have read not a lot personally, to be very honest, but what I find is there's a lot of articles out, and I think actually the Project Management Institute, which is a certification group for project managers, even has a certification, I believe, on that now. And I think there's a lot of talk about how that will affect project management. And it hasn't affected us yet. I think it will. I think, but in different ways. I don't believe anytime that you're dealing with disparate groups of resources with different agendas, I don't believe that is going to be replaced by AI. And what I mean by that is the tactics that we talked about, checking off boxes, did you finish this? That is going to be something that eventually will definitely affect our industry of project management. That can be done through AI eventually, I am confident. But the personal interactions, which is where projects tend to fail, though there's still going to be that personal need that I think will retain our field. Just it'll look a little different.
Okay, 100%, yeah. And What have been the biggest challenges since you've launched the business? I know it's been a while, but I'm sure there've been some notable challenges that you've faced. What are those, and how did you overcome them?
Absolutely. I think, well, the biggest risk is I had no idea what I was doing. So plain and simple, that was my biggest risk. I had come from a family of teachers. My mother, my sisters, and my father was an electrician. So I fell into business, and I really, when I came out of school, I didn't know what I was going to do with my degree. Fell into business, and so I didn't have any role models of people who started businesses. The area that I raised my children at the time, there were not a lot of women that were working, and so I was an oddity in that respect as well. So it was a constant learning for me. Every day was a new learning. How do I do this? Can I do it? I think the I had a 3 month rule at the time. When I, because at the very beginning it was just me, I would get the work and then I would do the work. And I had a 3 month rule that I changed 3 months, which I'll get to. But the initial 3 months is if I couldn't find a new project to do within a 3 month period, then I would go look for a new job. That was my out. And the logic being, I couldn't really look for work while I was doing the work. So I would give myself 3 months. Because of who I am, I like challenges, and that's sort of what motivates me. I never reached the 3 months. I actually came very close one time, but my goal was I was not going to let that happen. So I worked hard to continue to find that. So finally, I got a rhythm. I got more work. And then I started adding people. So that was another challenge. I started out of an, at the very beginning hiring people who had the soft skills but didn't know anything about project management. And that didn't work out very well because I ended up training them more than I did looking for new work. And then I hired contractors that had were experienced, and I realized, well, this works, but I'm trying to build a firm and a philosophy, so I wanted to hire people. And so those were the steps that I had to go through, and it was all learning. And I happen to be a risk taker, a big risk taker, I would say, which plays to, I think, the strength of most entrepreneurs. Most entrepreneurs are risk takers, and I used it in that I never felt like anything was a failure along the way. And I had plenty of failures, mind you, but I learned from them. So my attitude is there's lots of ways to skin a cat. I'll try one way. If that doesn't work, I will pull back and try another way. So there were a lot of ups and downs along the way until I got to a great model, which we have today. I'm sure others may have, in hindsight, might have gotten there quicker, but I don't mind trying things and failing and learning from them and moving on. So that was, I think, my superpower, that I'm not afraid to fail. That later, that 3 month that I mentioned, I have changed into, and this has to do with that I have lived my values my entire career. If I'm unhappy for 3 months straight, everyone's unhappy in their job. They have a bad day, a bad week, or a bad month. But 3 months in a row, if I have 3 months in a row, then I'm out. I decided there's life's too short. I'll go do something else. And haven't really reached that yet. Came close one time as well, but not quite yet.
I appreciate that, and it makes a lot of sense. I think a lot of people are afraid to do that and admit that. But that's really cool. And also, I admire the fact that you're not afraid of failure and you take it on head first. I think that's super important, especially as an entrepreneur. You need to have that. You need to have that ability to accept failure and learn from it and move on.
Without a doubt, life's too short, and I'm a big believer of no regrets. So How do you have no regrets? Well, you try it. And if it doesn't work out, then at least you tried.
Exactly. Me too. And I wanted to ask if you could rate your business today on a scale of 1 to 10 in terms of like your satisfaction with the overall business, what would that be?
Oh, that's a great question. I would say I'd like to answer that in two parts. I think the model that we have today, focused on outcomes, focused on the large transformational efforts that we have for our clients, that is the model that I have been trying to achieve for 34 years. We're there. We have a solid process. I have a phenomenal team. And we not only help our clients, but we actually always save them money when they allow us to help oversee their whole integrated team. Because we're not tied to we're not tied to a specific vendor. We're not inclined to try and add more resources to up our billings. We only succeed when the client gets what they're looking for. So in that part, I would rate that as a 10, maybe a 9, because there's always room for improvement. But I would say, as for on the selling side, I'm probably a 7 or 8, in that we're still small. Now, we'll always be small, because our model is small, and because I'm living the values of I wanted flexibility when I built this company, and didn't want to travel, and so all these things adds to we're I got exactly what I had built. But I think that there is a holdout. When I started in the 80s, IT co I mean companies did not have an IT staff. That other than a mainframe staff, they didn't have the knowledge base to be able to build the systems that they're building that needed to be built at that time, which is why consulting companies grew so quickly. The Accentures, the Deloittes, the EYs, the IBMs, the system integrators all grew because they were able to bulk up quickly. And so you used to have entire encapsulated teams going out to the companies to do the work that needed. In fact, literally, it was like, go ahead and get it done and let us know when you're done type of environment. Well, nowadays, everybody has that kind of project expertise, whether it's tech or even in the business, is more involved nowadays than they were back then in making the decisions for them for their own team. And but you still need for transformation some of these bigger companies. So what I think is happening that needs to change is some of these bigger companies are working with other third parties, their clients' internal team, and they're still bringing in the program manager. But the difference is now you have different firms in there working together with an internal team. You need someone independent. Whether it's the client has their own internal person, great, or someone like us, where they're that we are making sure that everyone is aligned to the goals. That's a harder message. I am that's an uphill battle. So that's why I would rate the message a little bit lower of where I'd like it to be.
Okay, 100%. And if we were to sit down again in 12 months' time and everything has gone right, everything that possibly can has gone right for your business, firstly, what does it look like and what has changed since from today?
Well, I think the economy right now needs a little boost, and I will tell you that that I am starting to see signs of it. So I'm hoping that those signs pan through. But in 12 months, for that, if everything goes right, then we are back to where we were last year, and that we are taking on our clients' larger efforts, the ones that are. There's more of them because people are not holding back. And our reputation precedes us. That would be a nice nice to have as well. Being a smaller organization, when we're competing with the tier ones and the system integrators, sometimes it's a re-education every time. Here's what we do.
Okay, amazing. I love to hear it. And I've just looked at the time and we are unfortunately a little bit over even. But if you were to give one piece of advice to other business owners looking to succeed, what would that be?
Don't be afraid of failure. It's going to happen. You will fail at one point or another. So engage with it, learn from it. And don't listen to all the naysayers. I've had a lot of naysayers throughout my career, and they are, and it can be debilitating if you listen to them. So don't listen to them. Believe in yourself.
100%. Believe in yourself. Thank you, Laura. I really appreciate your time today. And what is the best way for people to reach out to Laura Driven if you've got any offers for them or they're looking to follow your story?
Sure. Take a look at www.peritius.com. How to reach us is on there, as well as a lot of the articles that have been written through the years and recently. So take a look there.
Amazing.
Thank you, Dylan. I really appreciate it today, your time and the platform. Thank you.